Today is the 24th August 2021. It's a Tuesday. Yeah? So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning Teachings from the Verse, or the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. We are at page 370. Yeah? Just relax body and mind and maintain some form of attention. Then we shall have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We will off the light so that you all can start your meditation. Always remember, awareness-based meditation is to develop the awareness within. So we just silence our mind, relax body and mind, then maintain awareness. Just do that. No need to know anything, no need to do anything. Make your mind alert, attentive, aware, just aware, aware. Whatever arises, aware, finish. No need to continue with the thinking or mental stirring or proliferation of thought process. Just aware, silent, aware, silent. More and more moment of awareness, then later on, the awareness will become your main activity. Means your mind is most of the time just aware. Then later on, whatever object of awareness that you rest on initially, it can be a heartbeat or any vibration within your heart area. Then later on, when all this activity and movement become very subtle and very still, then there is nothing for you to hold on to anchor. During that time, you just stay around the heart area. Or if you are using your breathing, Anapanasati is your object of meditation, then stay with your Anapanasati to develop awareness of in and out breath. Means maintain the awareness, just aware. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Whenever the mind wander off, bring it back and develop that training of awareness. Until this breath become very subtle, very still. So it's the same. Whether you start with an object of meditation or you straightway start at your heart area or wherever you can place your awareness, you just stay there. Those who are familiar with rising, falling, also same, you can stay there at your abdomen there. Those are activity to allow you to center your mind, to allow your mind to stay there. But finally, ultimately, you have to return to your heart. So if that's the case, you might as well go to the heart. But those who do anapanasati, you don't worry. Ultimately, the anapanasati will take you down to the heart area too. Where the in-breath will take you down to the heart. Then from the heart, it will develop the movement outward. So when you stabilize your awareness, city, it will start to become different. You will have no more thought. You are only aware. When you are aware, you cannot think. So because you don't think, you will be very quiet, very peaceful, very still. That's why you can experience piti, sukhang, then finally paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. Then everything becomes very quiet and very still and very subtle. Don't do anything, just stay at the heart area. Stay there. The mind will stay there. Without any movement of thought, nothing, you just stay there. Then mind will enter sati. You have to develop that. until that awareness nature within is so stable, so clear, until like no more movement of thought, no more sankhara activity, everything is very quiet, very still. That is your true mind. That is your meditative mind, your silent mind, your awareness within. That is the one you need to realize. Without that, you cannot realize the first hallmark of Hui Ning. Master Hui Ning say, you must realize the first hallmark of no thought, Wu Nian de Qing Jie. Wu Nian is without thought. Without thought, who are you? What are you? You will understand when you reach that stage. That's why the initial training to be aware is very important. Spend time on it, stabilize it, then you will progress in your meditation. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. I will now set the alarm for 30 minutes so that you can have 30 minutes of awareness-based meditation. The fourth support is very important. Allow your body and mind to be completely relaxed. Relax means don't do anything, at ease, let things be, whatever arise, just aware. Because you are relaxed, all of your stress, tension, and whatever lack of relaxed part within your physical and mental, they will slowly, slowly adjust itself and reach a state of at ease. Means you are truly relaxed. When you are completely relaxed, means there is nothing troubling you. Your mind is at peace. Your physical body is without stress, without tension. So when that physical body is so relaxed that you are completely without tension or any stress, that is the meditative body. That is the mind that can be aware because it's at ease. There is nothing to trouble the mind. You got nothing to attend to. You can just let things be. And the awareness nature is very important. That is your true mind, your inner nature, your true nature, your silent mind. So that one, stabilize it, realize it. Okay. Relax body and mind. Slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state you need to use it to live life and to develop the daily mindfulness, awareness, to be aware throughout the day, heedfulness. When we give rise to an unwholesome thought, that thought destroys the seeds of goodness. So as a cultivator, we have to bear in mind this understanding. That's why the Buddha's advice is to avoid all evil. When you give rise to an unwholesome thought, that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That thought will destroy the seeds of all goodness. So be mindful of that. Similarly, the opposite is also true. When we give rise to a wholesome thought, that thought destroys countless evil. That's why you have to constantly follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. Means do not give rise to any unwholesome thought. Then cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, then purify your mind. So this understanding is very important. The absence of evil is good. When you do not give rise to an unwholesome thought, you will become beautiful. That's the reason why the Buddha taught us the four right efforts under the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. He He said, if you are not able to do that, means sometimes because of heedlessness, habitual tendency, you tend to arise this wrong thought, unwholesome thought, or heedless thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then what must you do? That's why you must be aware. You must have the awareness nature within to be aware and to understand what constitutes evil. What is an unwholesome thought? Thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And you must understand what are these major evil of greed, hatred, and delusion. If you don't understand the deep meaning behind the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then you cannot cultivate. You cannot develop the training. All precepts start with, we undertake the training rule to abstain from all evil. How do we do that? We have to be mindful, aware, and understand what constitutes evil. Then when we identify that this is an unwholesome thought, wrong thought, that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, what must we do? We arise the first right effort to abandon it. How do we abandon it? If you have gone through the mind map that Sui has done for you, you will know. There are five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. But the most important one is the third and the fourth way. First two ways is for normal people with certain type of negative tendency. So the Buddha said, the first way is to apply the direct opposite wholesome thought to overcome whatever unwholesome thought that has arisen. Take for example, if you have given rise to a selfish thought. Selfish thought has this evil roots of greed, selfishness, possessiveness, and all those things. So the direct opposite wholesome thought is very important. We must have this sincerity not to be selfish, to be sincere, to be generous, to be kind, to be gentle, to be pleasant. All these are virtues to counter the unwholesome thought. So when we have the angry thought or unwholesome thought of anger, hatred, envy, and jealousy, we have to arise the opposite wholesome thought of love, compassion, love and kindness to overcome. Then the other one is, when there is this cruelty in you, you must arise compassion. And sometimes if there is envy, jealousy, you must develop sympathetic joy, mudita, rejoice in the wholesomeness and all this thing. So this is how the four Brahma Vihara can help you too. Then the other one is when you have lustful thought, you must develop what they call contentment. Contentment. Otherwise, this thought cannot go away. You must reflect on the danger of having this thought. That is the second right effort. The consequence of holding on to that wrong thought, unwholesome thought, it will make you evil, cause your coming downfall. If that is not what you want, then you better abandon it. Then the third way is the meditative way. Whatever unwholesome thought or wrong thought has arisen, they will have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, whether it's craving, desire, selfishness, anger, aversion, or even fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, phobia, or whatever. All these are unwholesome thoughts with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So the Buddha said, you just silence your mind, like we learn the awareness-based meditation. Don't do anything. When you are aware that they are there, the third way is the meditative way. Silence everything and stay with it, be with it. It's just like when you are meditating, you aware of your anapanasati or meditation object or your heartbeat or whatever object of meditation or location within your kaya where you maintain awareness. So now when it comes to defilement, wrong thought, unwholesome thought, it's the same. You allow your awareness to go there, means the awareness and the emotion become one. Whether it's anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, or unhappiness, phobia, panic attack, or whatever. Just stay with it, silent. Don't think, don't do anything, stay with it. Just relax, maintain awareness. Then find out what happened. You will come to a very beautiful realization. Whatever that mind state that arises, they are dependent originating. They are not intrinsic within your true mind. They arise because of wrong thought, wrong view, because you react to sense experience, you stir your mind, you created the evil roots, the wrong thought. So when you silence everything and just stay with it, you realize it ceases. According to Jay Krishnamurti, with the very flowering of that emotion or that thought is the very ending of that thought. So let it flower, let it cease. Because these are negative energy, evil root, born of wrong thought, born of mundane thinking. So when you allow it to be, you don't feed it with any more wrong thought energy, then what happens? That emotion slowly, slowly will like flower and disappear. Means like Jay Krishnamurti's explanation, like our flower. When you allow it to flower until it cannot flower, what happens? It will wither off and it will disappear. That's how thought cease, because they are dependent originating. So you cut away the source or the condition for its arising, is no more wrong thought, no more wrong view, then it will cease. How to have no more wrong thought and no more wrong view? If you have not trained your mind, it will think. Then when you try to reason, or they call what, analyze, thought become more active. Then it will not cease. Then you come up with your own version of right and wrong, good and bad. That is not the way to solve spiritual problem or spiritual develop spiritual understanding. The true understanding is you don't go and think. How can you stop all this thinking? That's why our awareness-based meditation is the answer, the solution. That's why you silence everything and be with it and allow this awareness to stay there. Then finally, everything will cease. Then this true mind, your silent mind, your intrinsic true nature, your true mind will arise, will return. That's how you meditate. That's how you develop the wisdom that all this emotion, whether it's greed, hatred, or delusion, anger, hatred, fear, insecurity, envy, jealousy, phobia, whatever, they are all dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. If you do not feed upon it, you silence everything. Without thought, what happens? Everything ceases. Then you will realize your true mind, your silent mind. That's how you meditate. Then you realize anger was never you. Fear was never you. So why must you go and suppress the fear, suppress the anger, try to do away with the anger? All this is delusion. When you have the wisdom, it will cease on its own. You don't have to do anything. The abandoning of defilement is through wisdom. When you straighten your view, you silence your mind, then everything ceases. So the third way is for you to experience the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness within that has no duality, because it does not think. When it does not think, there is no thought. No thought means no duality. No duality means no good, no bad, no right, no wrong, no wholesome, unwholesome, no pleasant, unpleasant, nothing. Neutral. Just that nature aware, everything sees. Then you realize the profound meaning of what the Buddha taught. Sabbe sankhara anicchang. All these are sankhara, activity, mental states, emotion, wholesome and unwholesome. So, sabbe sankhara anicchang means dependent on condition they arise. When conditions cease to be, they cease. Then if you cling on to it, hold on to it, give meaning, sabbe sankhara dukkhang, it brings about suffering, misery, affliction. That is what the Dhamma is. Then finally, because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity where you can hold on to, cling on to and grasp on to and say, this anger is me, this hatred is me. There is no such thing. There is delusion. There is not intrinsic. You will never the anger or the fear. And when you realize that, it becomes so beautiful. If anger is not me, fear is not me, I don't have to do anything. Because these are not intrinsic within my nature. So I don't have to suppress it, control it, or push it away, or do away with it. That is wisdom. That is the understanding. Then you realize the five aggregates of form and mind, exactly like the Buddha's teaching, because it's impermanent, that's why it is non-self. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. Non-self. And because it's non-self, it is empty. Empty nature existence. It come and it go. Condition arising, causal phenomena. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. When causes and conditions cease, it ceases to be. So it's just nature's condition evolving and moving, transforming. So when you silence your mind to observe, to understand, then you realize you don't have to do anything. So that is the third way. That's how you develop wisdom through the third way, meditative understanding. Then after that, you still need to do one more step, the fourth way, the Buddha said. Through the fourth way, he said, is also meditative, but this one is to develop the ultimate wisdom, so that in future, when you confront the same sense experience or similar nature of sense experience, you are no longer deluded. You are no longer with the wrong view. You will not stir your mind anymore. So the Buddha said, when you are silent, aware, mindful, you can investigate, observe, to trace the origination factor or recollect through memory. How did you get angry? How did fear arise in you? Then you will come to a very clear understanding that is through one of your sense doors. Either when you see somebody you don't like, or you hear something you don't like, or you recall through memory something very negative. Could be your phobia or whatever, that trigger. Then you realize at that moment, you stir your mind and develop the fear and the anger. So you have to reflect, contemplate. Why did I do that? Yes, this is habitual tendency. But how does it come in and make me the way I am? How come I'm conditioned to do all these things? I'm like a robot, very mechanical in my reaction to what I see, what I hear, what I smell, what I taste, what I think and tactile feel. That is mindfulness, Dhamma understanding. So the Buddha say, trace the origination factor. Now you have traced through one of the senses. Then retrospectively reverse it means, why can't you accept that reality? Why can't you see things as they are, like the Buddha said? Thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So if I understand this law of dependent origination, Paticca-samuppada, then I will not have any more problem or doubt. Because everything is just the way it is. Condition arising, cause of phenomenon. I react and stir because I have wrong view. So how can I straighten my view so that I will not perceive him with negativity? So that I will not perceive whatever recollection through memory, my phobia, to arise a fear. I have to develop the wisdom, the understanding to be at peace. So to do that, we have to reflect and contemplate on what the Buddha taught us. The Buddha always say, learn to see things as they are. Not the way you perceive it. Not the way you are being conditioned into believing it. Because that is wrong view. Before you become enlightened, you will perceive things wrongly. You will create all the wrong thinking and the thought process. That condition you to stir your mind, react to sense experience, and entangle yourself so that you develop all the evil roots leading to all the karmic negativity and affliction. And this is what Dhamma is. So how can I see things as they are? I have to develop understanding. That's why I cut short your training by teaching you what I have realized through my past cultivation. I always tell you, because of the Dhamma, every phenomenon has its universal characteristics or anicchang dukkang anatta. And like the Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So they are just the way they are. So if I can learn to see things as they are, means accept them for what they are, means it's not about right and wrong. It's not about acceptance, means I just agree with what they do. No. Acceptance here means accept them for what they are. Accept whatever that arise, that reality here at that moment, at that instant. The causes and conditions already fixed. It has to be this phenomenon, this arising, this condition, that condition, this phenomenon and happening. So if I accept first, means I will be at peace. Because I can see things as they are. I can accept the reality of the moment. I can accept what is. But it doesn't mean I don't act. After that, I act. So acceptance through wisdom, right understanding, free mind. Then I start to reflect and contemplate. Yeah, the Buddha is very wise. Why? Because he says, see things as they are. So if I see things as they are, means I see the world as it is. I see human beings the way they are. Then I will come to this profound realization like I taught you all. Angry people do angry things. Deluded people do deluded things. Then, selfish people do selfish things. They are just the way they are. Because I don't condemn what they do. I don't even fear what they do. I don't even want to react or stir my mind. because of what they do. I accept them for what they are, but I don't agree with what they do. Well, that is delusion. That is wrong action. They have the evil root. That's why they become what they are. So when I accept to this right view and right understanding, I can be at peace. Then I act. Act with what? Noble Eightfold Path. Because that is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. The Buddha said, you act according to Noble Eightfold Path. You cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So that is the answer. That is the wisdom. That is the way to live life, to act. That's why you must have the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path. Drive you to accept the reality of the moment, to be at peace. Then with the clarity of mind, because when you're at peace, you don't stir, you don't get angry, you don't get emotional, you don't get fearful. Then you have clarity of mind. Then you can act. Act with wisdom, understanding. Then you inquire, how can I resolve this? How can I allow this thing to move on? How can I avoid negativity? Means resolve this amicably so that nobody gets hurt or nobody gets affected. Or what the lay society say, develop a win-win situation that is free of negativity. So to resolve issue amicably, the only way is follow Noble Eightfold Path. The Noble Eightfold Path is the advice of the Buddha, which is basically Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Then you have Noble Eightfold Path, you have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and right effort, right sati and samadhi. There is no negativity at all. You are incapable of evil. And this one leads to wisdom. That is how the teaching actually become very powerful, very effective, and it can solve every human problem. It can let you develop the understanding. Then when you can see things as they are, means accept the reality of the moment, then you are always at peace, no matter where you are, under any circumstances, any condition, any situation, you are always at peace with the wisdom. That you have that wisdom to come to terms with the reality, see things as they are, and accept the reality of the moment. That is the most beautiful understanding. So the third and fourth way is meditative understanding to free your mind so that you no longer stir and react. That's how you break your habitual tendency. Otherwise, this habitual tendency cannot be rooted out. Without wisdom, it will always be there. And a lot of cultivators used to discuss with me, Brother Theo, the monkey mind is very, very cunning and creative. Sometimes they come through the back door. Oh, and this habitual tendency is so difficult to root out. Oh, because they keep on experiencing this emotion, this fear, this phobia and all this. But it has been so long, so conditioned, until it becomes habitual. Then to root it out demands a lot of understanding and wisdom. You have to reflect and contemplate why you have to root it out. Why is it so important that you have to root it out? Because the Buddha already say, these are evil, root of all evil, make you evil, cause your coming downfall. That's why the four right effort is very beautiful. When you can abandon them through the third and fourth way, the second right effort falls into place. The next time when you confront similar sense experience, then you can prevent it from arising. Because that is wisdom, understanding. You know, no point. React for what? Stir your mind for what? That's why the second right effort can only be developed when you have the initial wisdom developed. You only so manasikara. And then after that, you can cultivate the third right effort, means to cultivate whatever virtue or right thought and wholesome thought that are still not in you. Then the fourth right effort, of course, is to refine upon whatever wholesome virtue, right thought that is already in you until you can perfect them all. So this four right effort, you cultivate them consistently, you become beautiful. Then you can develop the understanding to free your mind. Then after that, you can meditate. You can develop the silent mind to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, Satipatthana Sutta. The four foundation of mindfulness will lead you to the ultimate wisdom to liberate your mind, to free your mind of all the 10 fetters. Even the last ignorance is also rooted out. Then all the other fetters of restlessness, self-conceit, attachment to whatever, all rooted out. That's how you realize arahantship or full enlightenment. Means the enlightenment of the sainthood way, you not only realize the first stage of sainthood, second stage of sainthood, or the third stage of sainthood, which is Sotapatti, Sakadagami, and Anagami. You will realize finally arahantaship. So that's how you transcend birth and death. After that, no more birth and death through the normal deluded way, ignorant way. Then you have the condition to go the bodhisattva way. You can still come back as a bodhisattva. You have to take the four basic vows of a bodhisattva. You have to plant the bodhi mind, develop the faith, the sincerity, and the perseverance to go this way. And you have to really, out of love and compassion, develop the first basic vow of a bodhisattva. Means you vow to take across all sentient beings, the limitless sentient being, throughout samsara until they are all liberated, or take them all across to the other shore to realize nibbana. So that one is out of love and compassion to arise the pure mind so that you can come again, so that you will take rebirth through pure thought, wholesome thought, no more delusion or ignorance. So that understanding is very profound and very much deeper than the ordinary cultivation of the sainthood way. So this cultivation of the bodhisattva way following the Mahayana tradition is very different from what Theravada tradition commonly used to learn, because it's like not mentioned in their teaching at all. Maybe it's only like mentioned that the Buddha did it, that's it, finished. But there is no teaching on how to develop it, how to perfect it. Not until you go into the Mahayana teachings, then all these are clearly explain or spell out. So these are the extra understanding that I hope is useful for most of you. So this one, listen to it when the recording come out. Okay, we will come back to the sharing. Okay, now I will start the what we call sharing from the commentaries. I will read the title again. When we give rise to an unwholesome thought, that thought destroys the seed of goodness. This I have explained. Similarly, the opposite is true. When we give rise to a wholesome thought, that thought destroys countless evil. So as a cultivator, we must understand this properly and act accordingly. Then according to the commentaries, it said everyone intrinsically has a pure, clear, and thoroughly undefiled treasure trove within. And this is true. This is true. Our Buddha nature, our true nature within. Intrinsically, this one is pure, clear, and thoroughly undefiled. It's because of ignorance that conditioned living being to stir and create the mundane mind. That's how evil comes to be. Before that, there was none. That's why you must meditate to realize that Buddha nature, that true nature, the self nature, or your true mind, your silent mind. And the only one who can open up your own treasure trove is you, which is very true. Because the form and mind has the gateway to the treasure trove. And only you, your fine aggregate of form and mind, can develop the understanding and the meditative training to realize that, to open up that treasure trove. That's why you must realize that true mind, that self nature, that awareness nature within. If you don't touch that, you can never develop wisdom. You can never understand the true teaching, the Dhamma. That's why the first hallmark of awakening, you must realize no thought, wu nian. No thought means the silent mind, the awareness nature without thought. And that is your true mind. Without thought, you are already aware. That is your nature. That is your true mind. So simple. No need to think. No need to inquire. No need to do anything. Understand this and you transform. That's why your meditation all different. You straight away silent. Relax. Maintain awareness. Don't have to do anything. That is the correct understanding and the correct way to do it. Okay, I'll read on. Then maybe you can understand better. Only by looking within and uncovering this true nature, can you manifest infinite wisdom. See, the author also know. You have to go within, silence your mind, and use the awareness to see within. If you don't go within, you cannot develop the understanding. If you don't go within, you cannot realize that true mind, the silent mind, that nature within. And that is the one that can give rise to infinite wisdom. The silent mind can insight into phenomena, awaken to their universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. That silent mind can observe and develop the wisdom and the straightening of the view and the understanding. It's the silent mind that can see things as they are and awaken. That's why that silent mind is very important. That self nature, the true nature, the awareness nature within is very important. Then the Buddha came into this world repeatedly to teach us the Dhamma. He tells us all over and over again that we all intrinsically have this Buddha nature within. But we remain unaware of it. Why? That is very important, and therefore cannot put it to good use, because most human beings are deludedly caught up in the thinking, the thought process. They do not realize that they have another nature within, the true mind, the silent mind. They thought that mundane mind, that thinking mind, that heedless thinking mind is what they are. That's how they get themselves deluded. And that one obscures their true nature. And they think a lot. That's why they cannot realize that nature within. That nature can only surface or manifest when your thoughts stop. Living being is so heedless. Even when they sleep, they still have activity of mind. Their subconscious, unconscious, their phobia, everything still move. That's why you dream a lot. You cannot have peaceful sleep. You cannot have good, very well-developed type of sleep. When you sleep, if you have the Dhamma and the understanding, is to silence your mind, to recuperate, to allow your nature to heal your body, so that you can recuperate and you wake up fresh, as if you have rested for very long. Initially, sometimes you only need to be in the meditative state for 5-10 minutes. You feel the big difference. Then later on, you know the body is just the body. You need longer period. You need longer period. Yeah. But it's beautiful. That's why if you know how to meditate, it makes so much difference to the way you live life and understand life and to maintain this physical body. Yeah. Otherwise, it's not easy. That's why normal human beings are completely headless, lost in thought, and they cannot do it. So this one is very important. I will read on. So as we learn the Buddha's way, we are learning the method for uncovering this treasure trove within ourselves. So in a way, it's very true. When we give rise to an unwholesome thought, that thought destroys the seed of goodness. If we give rise to a single unwholesome thought, the seed of goodness cannot be planted in our mind. This is like when the field soil is littered with trash. This prevents the nutrient in the soil from being properly absorbed. Even if the field is tilted and seeds are sown, nothing will sprout. The same applies to the field of our mind. We need to diligently cultivate the mind so that it will not give rise to any unwholesome thought. Otherwise, not only will the seeds of goodness not sprout and grow, they will be ruined. So like I always share with you all, our mind is very important. A very good analogy is like your garden in your house, you have some land. You know what is a garden? If you don't take care of the garden, if you don't weed it and clean it or clear the lalang or vegetation or whatever that actually make the thing like invaded by all this lalang or undergrowth or wild plants, there is no way you can have a proper garden. So to have a proper garden, you must look after it, manage it. Then initially, till it and do the thing that you have to do. So to take care of the mind is the same. You have to clear whatever unwholesome thought within, whatever wrong thought within. Then you must give it space. You must not clutter the mind with a lot of belief system, tradition, all the taboos, superstitions, rite and ritual. Well, all this prevent movement, prevent freedom. It's like you don't have space to move. It's just like at home you have a table. If you put many things on the table or the author is the best, then there is no space. You can't even move. But if there is space, orderly, neatly, you put certain item, then you can move. Then there is space. Space is action, movement. Then with space, there is clarity. Then you can reflect, contemplate. Your brain is not cluttered. So space is what the mind needs. Space between thought. space between whatever sankhara activity that arises. When there is space, there is beautiful, pure energy from the nature. When there is no space, means you are lost in thought, heedless, cluttered with all the ignorant, heedless thinking, the wrong thought. So space is awareness. Space is silent, tranquility, stillness. That is your true mind, your silent mind, your nature. So space is needed to realize the meditative mind. So hopefully with this understanding, it can help you to develop the cultivation. Then I read on, I see what they have to share. On the other hand, when we give rise to a wholesome thought, that thought destroys countless evil. If we can form and sustain a wholesome thought, even if we still have many habitual tendency or unwholesome thought, this can be slowly eliminated. Then we will no longer be tainted by the negative causes that surround us and would have caused us to become more deeply ensnared. So good and evil arise and cease in opposition to each other. When a bit of evil arises, a bit of goodness is destroyed. By continuing to sustain our wholesome thought, even evil as numerous as the sand in the Ganges can be completely eliminated one by one. So this one is analogy on here. The actual happening is when you develop wisdom and right view, right understanding, then it root out all this. You don't have to root it out one by one. It will just go when the wisdom is there. Before that, very difficult. The same apply to karma. It is often said, we take nothing with us when we die. Lai kong, qi kong. Only karma follow us to our next life. The karma we have in this life is what we brought with us. If we can encounter good condition, negative causes and condition can be dispelled. If we do not give rise to wholesome thought, even if we encounter good condition, we will not be able to make use of them. That's why you need to be heedful. Therefore, we must constantly nurture a wholesome state of mind. This is beautiful. New things constantly arise and cease. This is very true. Then again, it arises, continuing on endlessly to give rise to good and evil phenomena. So that is what nature is. Within nature, we can see the ups and downs of life. We can see phenomena. The way people perceive it is all different. That's why it will constantly give rise to duality, which we call good and evil phenomena. Then the Buddha comes to this world to explain the difference between these two, so that we can cultivate the field of blessing with wisdom and good deeds. So this title is very unique, very special. If you understand, it will help you develop profound wisdom. When we go through life, when we observe nature, we realize every moment, every instant, new things arise. They constantly arise. Even within our own life, our own society, our own country and the world, every moment, every instant, phenomena arise, new things arise. And they continuously evolve. Then there's a lot of duality. All this arising and passing away, they continue on endlessly. That's why you have this duality. Sometimes if things go your way, then there is joy, there is happiness. Like when there is a celebration, or when there is this good occasion to celebrate, or to do certain wholesome thing that leads to joy and happiness. But when there is a catastrophe, when there is war or riot or whatever. Like recently, I think a lot of bad weather, heavy flood, even what they call nature's disaster arising, then war. All these are happening everywhere. Then political situation and scenario, world conflict, misunderstanding, their economic problem, crisis. The world is full of all this. So how do we develop understanding to free our mind so that we can stand above all this and make use of it to develop the wholesomeness, to be a blessing to all, and to improve the totality of consciousness? Like Jay Krishnamurti said, to change, the individual must change. When the individuals change, the totality has a possibility of change. Unless the individual change, the totality can never change. Thus, the totality is a massive movement, a force. The collective consciousness can condition the weak mind, the deluded, to actually follow. That's how a lot of what we call cult or even views and opinion or even certain type of ideology can actually create a lot of problem for us in the world. You look at US, they have so much problem. The racial problem, the various type of conflict between the politicians. You have the Democrat and the Republican fighting. Then you have the issue of weapon possession, war, and all those things. Then sometimes the individual can just, maybe because they have this funny thinking, they can just take out their weapon and shoot around. A lot of this, what they call illegal or unlawful killing happening. And this is happening very often, not a very like once a year type of occasion. It's happening everywhere in the United States, even in some European countries. Then there are war-torn countries where there is already war, conflict, civil war, and whatever type of war. So all this are happening in the world. So as a cultivator, as an individual, how do we develop understanding of all this, and how do we move to be a blessing to all? So this is what that Dhamma is, that topic is. So we go back to the adapted verse. New things constantly arise and cease, then arise again, continuing on endlessly to give rise to good and evil phenomena or duality. The Buddha come to this world to explain the difference between the two. That's how the Buddhist teaching become useful, so that we can cultivate the field of blessing to be a blessing to all. This field of blessing come with wisdom and good deeds. In this world, whether in time, space, or among people, new things constantly arise and cease, which we have control. The second that just passed may be said to have ceased. The second that follow can be said to be arising. The sentence I just spoke has ended, and the next sentence is now beginning. At every instant, new thoughts continuously arise or continue to arise, and at the same time, old thoughts continue to cease. In the world, in everything, from people to matter to object, new things constantly arise and cease, and then arise again. In our daily living, things all around us are arising and ceasing every second. Yet we are unaware of this because of heedlessness. We lack awareness within, mindfulness within. During the brief span of time between their birth and their death, their arising and ceasing of their lives, sentient beings continue to create karma, accumulate affliction and ignorance, and be dragged along by karmic forces down the ever-flowing river of time, samsara. As a result, we constantly hear about and witness natural and man-made disaster as well as conflict among humanity. This is an example of how things continue on endlessly to give rise to good and evil. Okay, I think we stop here. We stop here so that we can have our second session, meditation reporting and Dhamma discussion, followed by Q&A.
Can I say something?
Can, no problem. Can.
He was saying that constantly there is this arising and ceasing, you know, phenomena happening. And we are not aware of it.
Yeah.
We are not aware of it. So actually, what I want to say is during one of my so-called daily cultivation in daily life, you know this oximeter, right?
Yeah.
So we use the oximeter. Actually, I never really use it. I just started to use it last week. It was with me, but it's just that I didn't go and fix it and put the battery and use it. So I started testing it and trying to find out what is my oxygen level. So I use it, right? So you put your finger. The manual is too small. Cannot read.
My eyes
are also no good. So I don't read. I just do, you know, test it myself. Try it out. So the reading shows like 97, sometimes 98, sometimes 99%.
Yeah, above 95 already good. Yeah.
Correct. So, just a few days ago, I think last week. And I tried, you know. So I sit down and try. Then, Bradio, you know what happened? Suddenly, the awareness at the finger, you know. Arising, ceasing.
You can feel that vibration and that pulse. Because our whole body has that pulsation. We call it the pulse of life. That is our life force from our heart. It trigger off and send the blood to all the organs and location within our body where there is these arteries and veins. So all this pulsation or vibration, if you have trained your mind to be mindful, to be aware, you can feel them. Even when you lie down to rest, there is a lot of vibration within your entire body. Not only the place that is in contact with the cushion or with the bed or with whatever you sit on, the couch or what, even your heart area, the other tactile activity that is within you, you can feel them all. The vibration is very clear. That's why when you are sensitive, your oximeter you put in, you can sense it. The movement, the activity, subtle to you. So you can feel them, very good.
Yes, actually, I do not know what the oximeter is doing, you know, it's just a black box to me, you know. When I put the finger in, instead of the oximeter give me a reading, I'm actually reading my own pulsation. As long as I feel it, keep on pulsating.
Rising, you have the sensitivity to be aware, which is very good. That's why when you read this, the sharing from this book, Essence of Infinite Meaning, that the verse is a phenomenal, they keep on arising, but most people are hardly aware. They like doesn't really perceive it or know what is happening. They are mostly too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life, so much so they never leave. So that meaning is very deep. if you are not aware, means you are unconscious of light. Indirectly, it's unconscious. You may be conscious of light, but you are not aware, which means you are unconscious of light. But to me, to live life is to be aware. Then only you live. Otherwise, you are lost in thought, heedless. You are not aware. Not aware means heedless, or indirectly unconscious of light. So that understanding is very important. I used to share with Kayamita in the early days. I said, you may be conscious that you are alive, but are you aware of life? Means, are you truly aware and live life? And most people never live life. Why? Because they are heedless. They are lost in thought. They are hardly aware. So I always use the word, they existed through life. Gong gong tua, gong gong jia, gong gong si. They exist. They go through all this phase, but they are not aware. That's why they are not living life. Unless you have the Dhamma, you are aware, conscious, then you can truly live life. You can experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life every moment, every instant. Your mind is completely silent, aware, and be with the moment. Not lost in thought, not agitated, not worrying here, worrying there, thinking here, thinking there, then stirring here and there, creating all the emotion. Sometimes you laugh, sometimes you cry. And the emotion, the reaction to sense experience is so strong that duality keep on arising, light and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. All this is heedless living. This is not true living. True living is when you are fully aware, in charge of your life, where you can understand things so clearly. You have that understanding, that wisdom, that Dhamma, and you can isolate what that true nature is, the wisdom that is connected to it, and what that five aggregate of form and mind is, what thinking is, what sankhara is, what thought process is, then you use it. That's why I always say the highest wisdom is the form and mind is karmically conditioned for us to use. A vehicle and a tool for us to come to this existential world. So use it and do not be deluded by it, like what the fifth patriarch told Huineng. And Huineng, immediately when he heard that, he came to great awakening. My nature also understand that before I even read the sixth patriarch. Yeah, I knew what this thing was. That's why when I saw it in the internet, I know that is the correct version. The other version are all not correct. So that version that I chose and share in the Heart Sutra is the correct version. So far, the best ever. And I only amended a bit of the English word. Most of it were beautiful, because to translate from Dhamma into English is not easy. Into Mandarin is easy. It's a Dhamma language, Mandarin. But English is not so easy. The English is the language that is being created is not so much for spiritual communication or maybe elaboration and explanation. So the English, when you translate, the meaning does not come out unless you have the understanding within your nature or the profound understanding of its deep meaning when the Mandarin words are used. That's why all these are so beautiful. Then I take that internet source, that version. There were so many versions. The first two I think sent to me by somebody else, all wrong, not correct. The explanation all didn't really reflect where my nature understand and know. Then I suddenly clicked onto the internet, six page platform. Then I came across this version, which is very good. Then I modify it a bit, and I share it in the Heart Sutta text, that text. That's why that one, the sharing turned out to be very good. So very good, Pocheng, send it to you.
I just want to add on about what Sister Sarah mentioned.
Pocheng.
I have experienced before for a while. I can actually feel the heartbeat.
Oh,
and after a while, the heartbeat sends the chi or what goes to the palms, you know.
Yeah, they can feel
the warmth in the palm.
Yeah.
Can also feel the warmth that goes later on.
Feel the vibration at your palm area? That one more important. Yeah, you tend to be more sensitive to the chi flow based. I think you have been trained in Reiki.
Feel feel it's a heartbeat that sends
right. That is the life force. The life force actually trigger off that pulsation. They call it the pulse of life. Then this one can be transformed into heat energy or whatever energy. And they can also be translated into vibration within your palm. That's why I asked you, can you feel the vibration within your palm? All the vibration. So next time you try, you just put your palm on the floor or on your bed or on anything. Initially, you need to feel something in order to feel the vibration. But later on, without putting on anything, you can also feel it. Wherever you locate your awareness, you can feel it. That's why those who really train their mind, the awareness nature very stable already. Wherever you put your awareness, you can like go inside, feel everything. And like we call it, the mind is like an x-ray. And of course you cannot see, but you can feel inside the sensation, the vibration, everything. And which part is being responsible for that movement, the activity and all those things. That's why we can feel our body condition very well. With the awareness, you can know many things. So what you experience is also good because that chi thing, you are more sensitive because you do Reiki and all those things.
Last time.
Yeah. Then later on, you try the vibration at your palm. Initially, put it on the ground or on the cushion where you sit.
No, I can feel the vibration on the palm.
Oh, very good. You can feel, means very good. Means you know how to silence. If you don't silence, you cannot feel at all. Because the Sankara activity is moving, the thinking. Yeah. But when you are completely silent, you become sensitive. That's how you can feel. Especially on the floor, where the floor is more cooling. Then the vibration become very distinct, very clear. Then later on, you can feel it on any cushion or whatever. Then finally, the true sensitivity is where you don't put on anything, you just silent, relax, and maintain awareness. Then you develop the awareness of your palm area. You can feel them. You can feel them. So all these are exercise of awareness that you can do. That's why when you are at rest, waiting for something or resting, you're silent, that you can feel all this movement, the vibration. Initially, it's like very gross. Then as you allow it to be, don't do anything, it like slow down. Then it become like more and more subtle. Then later on, very quiet and very still until no more sankhara, no more thought, activity and movement. that you experience a type of tranquility, stillness within your mind. That is meditation. So you give it a try, huh? And do all this exercise and see how it goes. Huh? Then maybe later on you will be able to share a lot more these beautiful happenings. Yeah, very good. You can continue.
Let's say for daily mindfulness, we're doing something and you're concentrating on what you're doing, and then you forget to be aware of your bodily movements.
It can happen because that is the initial stage. Yeah, you are trying to be aware and yet want to do things. I already told you, you can only do one thing at a time. Understand? So when you are trying to understand something, you're aware from inside, your awareness there. When you're aware from inside, you can continue with your thinking, your planning, your reflection, your contemplation. But it is a creative process. You are not lost in thought at all. There any movement, any activity, the awareness is there. You want to be aware, you can be aware. But most of the time, it's like specific phenomenal awareness. Your awareness and the thing just move together. So it will not disrupt your whatever planning or things that you are doing. Like you cook. You can still be aware and cook very well. Because when you are able to do it, with that understanding and training, the moment you are silent, you are already aware. So don't try to be aware. What you are doing is you try to be aware, then you recall that you totally lost your ability to be aware of your action and movement. Because you think that is meditation, that is important, which is not wrong. But the actual understanding is not to go and allow the thought to come in and want to be aware. When the thought want to be aware, it cannot be aware. You only have to remember silent, relax. So when you train, you just do whatever action and movement, maintain the ability to be aware first. So after you train until the awareness very stable, only you can move on to the next step of developing awareness while walking, while driving, while doing things. You understand, Yunjian? Initially, before you stabilize your daily mindfulness, you cannot. That's why I know why you have such problem. Because when you are, like you explained, concentrating on something, trying to solve something or what, your thought take over completely because you have not developed the daily mindfulness. That's why I say when you need to stabilize that mindfulness, you stabilize it. How do you stabilize it? Listen again. Listen. This one will help you, Yunjian. A lot of people are like you trapped at that level. First is in the form of meditation, silent everything. Even if you are using rising, falling, or anapanasati or what, never mind. Relax, maintain awareness, and develop anapanasati until that breathing becomes very subtle and very still. Then the mind enters sati. When mind enters sati, it becomes very different. That's why you must stabilize the awareness until that level. Even you stay at the heart area, also same. Whatever you do, also same. As long as you can maintain awareness, it can be anywhere within your kaya. Or you can do your walking, or you can be in a lying down posture, or bowing. So when you do until body and mind become one, that is the stability of mindfulness that you will have. Then there is no more like you want to be mindful. You want to be. Then suddenly you realize, how come all your action and movement, the awareness is with it? It's like become a part of you already, automatic already. That is the stability. That's why when the mind enters sati, when you come out of it, it's like magnify the movement. All of your action and your movement, even the slightest shift or movement, It's like magnified. Then the awareness is there. Then you realize, last time you cannot be aware. Now the phenomena and the awareness move as one. Then when you come out also, like the Buddha said, the four posture, from lying down to arising, sitting to standing, the awareness is always there. Then walking, also awareness there. Then whatever you do, the awareness is there. You must reach that stability first. Then only you can translate it into driving, going to office, and everything. We have the awareness training. You have to develop it in stages. You have to like realize it, stabilize it. That's why the daily religious routine is very important. Determine to be aware throughout the day. Whatever you do, don't try to be aware. Just initially, you cannot be aware, never mind. Just do, like playing badminton. Initially, the stroke is very clumsy one, like not skillful, not graceful, not smooth. Never mind, try. Keep on trying until suddenly you can, the stroke become very graceful. Daily mindfulness is the same. When you can silent and determine to be aware, every action, every movement in the present moment, then the daily mindfulness will come. The other way is through the formal meditation. Silent until the mind becomes very quiet, very still, very subtle, and the object of meditation very subtle, very still, then mind enters sati. It's the same. When you reach that stage, it's the same as your daily mindfulness development. Then when you come out of the formal meditation, you can see your mindfulness and your awareness together. Yeah. So that is the stability that you need to establish. That's why it's not easy, but can be done. And I did it within 2 weeks when I determined to be aware. Then I realized after that, my awareness is with me all the time. Then later on, when my mundane mind collapsed, I don't have to do anything already, because that nature shine forth. And the specific phenomenal awareness and the spacious awareness without a center become like a part of me already, automatic. Like that mundane mind is gone. I also don't know what happened to the mundane mind. There is nothing to cloud my nature. And that's why everything, I am in that silent awareness. That's why my nature can be aware of so many things. It's very sensitive. But no need to know everything. Why you want to know everything? A lot of things are not necessary. But you are sensitive. You are aware. That's why I can see sign. I can feel sign. I can understand what the form and mind is going through. From the feeling, the sensation, the expression, and the way they express themselves, my nature can know. That is the understanding and sensitivity that nature can have when the stability of awareness within that nature is so stable. Then of course it comes with the wisdom born of cultivation. And when my nature inherit from my past, all this understanding come back to my nature. Then together with the form and mind, it animate and manifest. And this is what you call the deal, that form and mind. But the nature within, behind, is different. So that nature is like any other cultivator. Even Kuan Yin, he has his nature. All the great beings, they have their nature. So my form and mind also have that nature behind. So all this, as you go through the cultivation, you will come to understand. You will develop all the understanding that you cannot find in book. And I also believe you can hardly hear from another person or cultivator unless that cultivator has that ability, which is very, very advanced and very beautiful. It's not easy to encounter a cultivator that has all this understanding. But these are not the normal Dhamma that you can find in textbook and all those things. It's about cultivation, and mindfulness, awareness, these are all words, but the actual thing is so different. That's why after I explained to you today, you listen to it again attentively, like what Song has done. Listen to it attentively over and over again. Then slowly, slowly, you reflect, you contemplate, then you do it. Then the understanding will come to you. Then you will progress. Without the daily mindfulness, it's very difficult. A lot of the thing I share, people without the stability of daily mindfulness cannot penetrate, cannot go in deep enough. So today one will help you a lot, Yun Yang.
Okay, thank you, Brother.
Recently I've been, you know, experience, you see, with some of my friends. So I encounter one thing very strange is that, you know, I mean not strange, but is that a lot of people actually they are not happy with their life.
Oh, sadhu. Very good. Yeah. That is a very profound discovery.
yes. And you know, and I ask them, you see, if they have, you know, if there's next life, will you come or not? A lot of them, they say they don't want. They don't want to come.
Because they are so fed up with life. Huh? They don't see happiness in life. They don't see a reason to come back. These are people who don't have the Dhamma understanding. Yes, continue. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, all right. I mean, because they've been seeing a lot of suffering, is it?
Yeah.
So, in regardless whether they are aged, whether they are, you know, young or old, see, even the old people, elderly people, because they notice the life is not no longer the same in their like you know, for you know, in the past, you see, the society have changed so much, value system, everything have changed.
Yes. Yeah, it's like very stressful for them. They cannot cope with what is happening. So that stress actually make them miserable, frustrated, unhappy. It's like everything is not right. The world is so competitive and like there is no place for them. And they have so much problem. very cool. What you say is very true. In fact, 90% of human beings is like that. Suffer. Miserable, unhappy. Very seldom you can really find one genuine one who has the understanding, who can tell you life is beautiful, meaningful. continue.
Correct. And then the other one that I've encountered is like, you know, is a lady friend. She's been working in the big corporate, you see. And she's going through a lot of, like, you know, so-called office politics.
That one also a lot of stress.
Yes.
Mental energy wastation, proliferation, they call proliferation of mental thinking. A lot of very negative type of emotion.
Yeah, and then she, you know, she's quite soft, is it? And she's not those kind of, like, you know, aggressive type, is it? So she's been sort of like bully and taking advantage, you know, by all this, is it? Until she was like, she say, you know, she wanted to learn those kind of, like, you know, character in the drama, you know, those kind of, like, fight here and fight there. I was like, I don't know how to, you know, I don't know how to talk to her, is it? Because, you know, I also understand her feeling, you see. She's like, you know, been taking advantage, and then she and then in those kind of like corporate environments, people want to, you know, present their, you know, the best of them, you know, they stab each other, you know. A lot of them just know how to talk, but, you know, in terms of doing, you know, working, you know, actions, little, see? And if you don't know how to talk, then you'll be...
The corporate sector has a lot of this type of people. They can actually put on a strong impression and talk their way out of situation. And sometimes they take advantage of situation. I mean, that is life. That is the career corporate sector. And I have heard about corporate sector, not easy to survive. Yeah, there's a lot of politics. Then a lot of what they call competition, backstabbing, and a lot of problems associated with work environment and condition. Then sometimes they will be threatened. They'll be threatened. Then if you put too much emphasis on your job security, you will have fear, you will have frustration, unhappiness. Then like your friend described to you, she is a soft type, that timid type, not the aggressive type. Not like PG, PG is small size but can take care of herself. So she don't have that ability. But for you, if you want to help her, you can apply the Dhamma, provided she's willing to listen, because life is not about competing. It's not about like trying to be better and all those things. Life is to understand, then live honestly. Do your best. I always tell people who are working, try your best, do your best. As long as you are sincere and true to yourself, there is no fear. That's why take care of karma. Karma will take care of your life. That's it. If you don't have any negativity, nothing will harm you unless it's past karmic thing. Then a lot of these things they have to understand is like the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And most of it is karma, because the Buddha stayed under the fifth contemplation very clearly. We are all born our karma, heir to our karma, condition is supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So very likely it's all karmic. So when you say that, they will understand slowly. You face this type of boss, this type of superior, or this type of colleague. If we are in the past, you also created this type of stress for people. So now, you become the victim, the condition is reversed. So you have to resolve all this amicably. So if she is willing to listen and develop some understanding, then maybe slowly you can help. Otherwise, just let things be. If there is no condition, just let things be. Just listen them out and see how it goes. Then also provided you yourself have the ability. Otherwise, there is not much impact as far as I know. So it all depends. If they really want to develop some form of understanding, the Dhamma can help them. The Dhamma can give them solution and understanding. And life need not be that way. Suffering need not be. Career is career. Life is life. So the two, they are independent. But when you have Dhamma, you can have both career and life. Then you will know when to retire, when to stop. Otherwise, human beings, they are caught in between. On the one side, they say they need the money, the salary, the pay. On the other side, they feel the stress. They feel the pressure, they feel the unhappiness within the corporate environment, the politics and all those things. So this one, the thought that don't have the Dhamma or right view and the right understanding, they will react, they will stir, they will trigger off fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity. Then at night, they cannot sleep, phobia and all those things. So that is the reason why most people are unhappy with their career, with their life, with whatever they do. So maybe with this sharing, it can help you develop more understanding to see how you can help the next time. Okay, Jinhong. Hey, before we continue, I want to find out how's your sister? She recovered?
Oh, she's fully recovered.
Wow, very good. Sadhu. That's good. So take care.
And then back to the topic, you see.
Yes.
So, you know, like you say, you see, I want to explain, I mean, I want to sort of like talk to her. But I see there's no conditions.
Ah, then let it be.
There's no conditions. And I also reflected, you know, when I was, you know, earlier the time, you know, in the 2030, the time when I was
younger. Yeah.
Yeah. So I also going through all these kind of similar issues.
Yeah.
And then at that time, you know, the very hot topic was that, you know, I tend to like to read and follow those kind of topics, like, you know, how to be success, you know, all those kind of things.
Motivations.
Yeah. And then, you know, and come to now, I'm so glad that, you see, that, you know, I follow the right way, right path.
Because so with the Dhamma, you become different. You see things very differently. You do things very differently. Not only you have understanding, you also have clear contentment. You are very contented with life because you understand life differently. Not the old thinking, the traditional conditioned thinking of most people. They want to be successful, so they like that. Who is that young boy already? That one got depression. What is his name already? The one that came to the Thursday class, then came and see me and recovered. Eric, you remember? He used to share with us. He was so actually affected. Then he went through that phase that he can never understand why he is like that. Until finally he believed what the mother tell him was maybe true. Maybe he is stupid. She is not up to the whatever. So when you have such situation, the mind becomes so conditioned, so confused, and they cannot break free. So you finally need the Dhamma. That's why when I explain to him about memory, and then he starts to understand the fear, the phobia, and all those things. So these are all wrong thought that condition him, his misery, his suffering, his unhappiness, and all those things. Then he starts to understand, because he hold on to that thought, he deposited, and they become like very strong, accumulated in his memory. And every time he recall that unconscious and subconscious phobia spring out, like the words of her mother telling him off and all those things, then kena scolding from the boss and all those things. So these are the mind state of living beings who don't have the Dhamma and the understanding. So they will go through all this, not until they can meet somebody who can help them understand all this. So I use the Dhamma to explain to him in layman term, using normal day-to-day language like Jai Krishnamurti type. Then he understand and he came out of the depression. That's how it can be done. So all these are possible.
Also the first topic that I discussed just now, say that if there's a next life, will you want to come again, all these things? And people say they don't want, because I notice a lot of people they don't see the purpose in life, you see. They were so much suffering that, you know, they see no point. And they just, you know, carry on their life just like that. That's it. You know? And that's why I'm very glad, you see. I'm glad that, because, you know, Really, thank you, Brother Teo, because of seeing the Dharma, that's why I know the purpose of life is to cultivate, you know.
It's
for me, you know, to appreciate, you know, what I have, you know.
Take
it, you know, so that I can have paved the way for my cultivation, you see. And also I know that, you know, life, you know, it's not real and not, I mean, not to say not real, but
unreality, the unreality of life and existence.
Yeah.
Because there is life, there is existence, but it's not what you think, because it's condition arising, dependent originating. That's why it has its universal characteristics, impermanent, leading to suffering, and because of that is non-self, empty. Not real, empty nature or existence. So because of that, the phenomenal world of consciousness is just cause and effect, condition arising, causal phenomena, everything just flow. Whereas the true understanding is the form and mind, which is subject to the universal characteristic, is not real. That is not your true nature. That is your vehicle and tool for you to come. And that one is subject to karma. So that one, you need to have the understanding to take care of karma. Then you will know how to live life. The Dhamma is just to understand that. That one is unreal. So do not be gullible. Do not be deluded by it. Use it. Live. And experience life to the fullest. Make use of it to cultivate. To develop wisdom, understanding, to perfect yourself, to be a blessing to all. So that life after life, your karmic nature is beautiful. Then cultivate, like you say, the Bodhisattva way so that you can perfect yourself. So that in future, when you come back, whether you choose to come or you have to come, you become beautiful. And this is the secret of life. You have to understand the unconditioned and the conditioned. Then you know how to move and you know how to plan your life. Then life become like wonderful, rewarding, meaningful, and you love life, and you will have the joy to live the beautiful life, especially the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, the life of an enlightened being. So this is what life is all about. This is what Dhamma is all about. So when you understand that, you become different. That's why you are moving into that direction, really, which is very good. Sadhu to you, you know.
Yeah. In Chinese, there's one word they say, 以假修真啊.
Yeah, correct. That is true.
Yeah,
以假修真, correct.
Yes.
Because existence has its own reality, but it's not what you think. Your existence is just a phenomenal world of consciousness. So phenomenal world of consciousness, how real can it be? It's just an image from the mundane mind. Arise and pass away, arise and pass away. As real it can be, it's only within the moment. Split second is the end goal. Split second is the end goal. There is no reality. But there is such thing as life, existence. The form of mind exists, subject to karma. If you know all this, then you can live life. That's why 以假修真, that is true. Means you cultivate based on your understanding, which is the reality. You understand the reality within the unconditioned 假象. So all this understanding is very beautiful. There is no reality, no mark. Where got reality? 假象. No mark of a self-cultivating, no mark of living being, no mark of others, no mark of life, no mark of existence. This is ultimate unconditioned Dhamma, wisdom. But within the condition, everything exists. Birth, old age, sickness and death. For number two, the Dhamma, they exist. The duality, they exist. Life exists. But they are subject to the universal characteristics of impermanence. You cling, you grasp, you hold, you suffer. If you have that understanding, then you know there is no reality, no permanent unchanging entity. So you won't grasp, you won't cling, you won't hold. You just accord and flow. Then you just have the understanding to live. That's it. Because the form and mind is a vehicle and tool for you to come, to experience, to live. So use it with understanding and live and become beautiful, a blessing to all. That is what Dhamma is. Mm. Very good, Jinhao, Sadhu to you.
Yeah,
slowly go into all this, you will learn the thing very fast. Mm.
Yes, correct. You know, now I really appreciate life and very, very thankful to life, you see.
Yeah.
And every morning, apart from doing the religious routine, I also sort of like saying the thankness, you know.
Yeah,
like,
gratitude.
To life,
yeah,
you
gratitude,
know.
Yeah,
gratitude. Right, to my body.
Yeah,
to the house that I have, you know, the family that I have, you know,
yes,
surrounding
yes.
that I have, you know, it's like the full of gratitude, is it?
Yeah, gratitude. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you learn to have love. Love everything. Yeah. Not only love your own form and mind. Love your own form and mind means you will not harm it. Huh? You will not be deluded by the form and mind to use it to harm yourself, hurt others and hit out others, you won't. So love is very important. When you have love, everything becomes beautiful. That's why you will express your gratitude. You thank your good karma for having your good condition now. Like you thank yourself for having this healthy body, this good home, your family, your friends, your colleague, your kamita, and everything that you are able to have in life, within existence. Where these are your parami, these are your affinity. So everything that arises, when you have the Dhamma, you understand them differently. You will have contentment. You will have joy. You will have gratitude. You will have love. That's why all these virtues will surface. That is what Dhamma is all about. When you cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, and if your virtue doesn't arise, means you are not on the right path. Whatever that accumulate into virtue and understanding is the right Dhamma. Whatever that give rise to more ego is the wrong path. That is delusion. So very easy to identify and check your progress, your cultivation. So all these are very beautiful, Jinhao, Sadhu to you.
Yeah, because it's like in the past I reflected, you see, when I encounter suffering, I always question, why me, you see?
Very common, yes.
Yeah, but now I understand, you see, like what you say, is it the understanding of the karma will set you free, you see?
That is the right view, that free you.
Yes.
That's why right view will condition the right thought, right understanding, and free you. Because we can accept, like the Buddha say, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And what are these? We are born of karma. So definitely has a lot to do with karma. So if it's karmic that condition this, I accept. Yeah, this is what I have done in the past. So now I vow. I vow not to repeat all this by following the advice of the Buddha. That's how you start your cultivation. Then you become beautiful. Then you ask for forgiveness, repentance and everything. Then you invoke power of merits for turning around and whatever to benefit your cultivation. To speed up your cultivation, to bring about transformation for the better. Mm. So all these are beautiful teachings.
Yeah, and most important thing is that, you know, to thanks my good karma, able to accept the real Dhamma, able to encounter the real Dhamma.
That one is a real blessing. Yeah, thank your good karmic nature, affinity with the Triple Gem. Otherwise, you won't have this condition to understand all this and learn all this.
All right. Because nowadays, you know, there are so many so-called value systems, is it?
Correct.
Yeah. And there, a lot of people, they will teach you, you know, they will say, oh, you have to live life in this way, this way.
Yeah. Ideology, we call it ideology. Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, only after you have realized, understand the Dharma, then you know that, you know, the Dharma is the only path, is it?
Yeah. Well, that is the reality, the truth, noble truth, truth that can make you noble one, enlightened one. The others are ideology, not noble truth. The other ideology you follow, you live, it cannot make you noble one. You cannot free yourself from all this karmic thing and all this entanglement in life. You can't. That's why the Dhamma is called noble truth. Truth that can make you noble one. That is the big difference between that teaching and the other teachings. Very beautiful, huh?
Sadhu. Yeah, all right, Sadhu, yes. Yeah. So, I think, you know, if I didn't encounter Buddha Dharma, I think I will be just like them, you see? Live life, you know, without any purpose.
Correct.
Day after day, just like that, you see?
Right.
Hope that it will finish fast, you see?
Yes. Then a lot of people finally give up. They say, I am myself die. Suicidal thought will come in. Because they cannot take it anymore. A lot of people have depression, depressive suicidal thought, because they cannot cope. A lot of things doesn't go their way because of karmic. And the karmic negativity, when it hit an individual, it can be very severe. That's why don't play a fool with karma. Take care of karma. That is the Buddha's advice. Avoid all evil. Cultivate wholesomeness, develop wisdom, purify your mind. So all these are very beautiful, you know, Sadhu.
Yes, Sadhu, correct. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say it's really very, very important to, you know, to have good karma so that we're able to, you know, encounter Buddha Dharma. That is the important thing. Apart from wealth, I think Buddha Dharma, you know, that is most important, because
without the Buddha Dharma, all your materialistic wealth got no meaning, I tell you. It doesn't give you happiness. In fact, sometimes all this give you more problems. Like all the rich people, they are not happy. They still have a lot of mental suffering, misery, a lot of problems in our what they call society. You can see it happening. Sometimes they fight over their property, their inheritance. And because of money, there's a lot of scheming, infighting, backstabbing, even court case. So a lot of these things you can see, you can witness from life itself. That's why when you reflect back, you actually thank your good karma. You have great gratitude, and you really have that joy to understand all this. Because without the Dhamma, like you said, you can be like the ordinary heedless people who has so much problem, no direction in life, no understanding, just do what other people do. And to them, maybe that is what life is all about. Then they have a lot of mental agony, delusion, unhappiness. They are seldom peaceful, happy, don't have much joy in life. So this is the big difference, heedless living and heedful living. That's why now you understand why the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead, whereas heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the heedful never die. So all this become clear, become meaningful. Then you determine to be heedful, to be mindful, to be aware, to cultivate and to establish yourself firmly on this Bodhisattva way, the Dhamma way. Because life after life, when you come with this understanding, you become beautiful. Without this Dhamma, living being miserable, suffer a lot of affliction, a lot of misery. Very good. You know, anything else?
Yeah, I think that's all.
That's all. Very good. I think we have to end. We have 10:42 already. So thank you so much for the good sharing. And also earlier on, Sister Yuan Chan and Po Cheng. So we all should rejoice one more time with the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.